to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I excited. I am so excited to have three saints is what I feel, and three saints representing the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. This Order of the Holy Sepulchre does incredible things, and we're going to be focusing on that today. And first, we have a celebrity with us, Father Dave Heaney, who you hear at 5 o'clock on Relevant Radio across the country, talking about the Rosary at 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Father, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And a fellow brother deacon, Deacon Ryan Adams, who is all over the place as a missionary for this wonderful order. And then you're based in Los Angeles also, correct?
Yes, at St. Charles Borromeo in North Hollywood is my home parish.
Wonderful. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, brother.
And back by popular demand. You heard her once. You're going to hear her again. She is amazing. And this is Margie Romano. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deacon.
And Margie is actually the Chancellor of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. Is that correct?
I am.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Now, our listening audience is waiting with bated breath, and they're asking themselves, most of them, what is the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem? Who would like to define that?
I can do that. We started, our roots date back to 1099. And so that's where the equestrian comes in, because it was the knights that rode in defense of the Holy Land, take care of the Christians in the Holy Land. And so through the years, we have evolved. We have knights and ladies. We are a pontifical order. We're under the governance of the Pope. Based in Rome, we are worldwide. We are the Western Lieutenancy, which encompasses 5 states, 9 areas. And so we're very blessed. Our mission today is to take care of the Christians in the Holy Land.
And since Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry, does pilgrimages, and we've done 6 pilgrimages to the Holy Land, we've gone almost every year for the last number of years. The situation in the Holy Land, the word dire comes to mind, but certainly they need our help. The Christians are persecuted. They need our support financially. Obviously, the shrines, the buildings, the churches all need our help. And your thoughts on that, Father?
I understand that the word dire can come to your mind, but I think today I can tell you that the best word that you can have right now is hope. This is the most transformational time in the Middle East that we can remember in our lifetime. Things have changed dramatically for the better. And I'll say this, that obviously there's been tension between Israelis and Palestinians for decades, and everyone understands that. And the Arab world pretty much took the side of the Palestinians. But something has recently changed to bring hope, and that is both the Israelis and the Arab world fear Iran. And the common threat of Iran has actually, for the very first time in history, made an alliances between Israel and the entire Arab world. Under the guidance of the U.S., there's going to be a peace plan coming out that's going to kind of announce this alliance between the Arab world and the Israelis against the common threat of Iran. Now, Iran doesn't like that. So what you're going to see right now, and we are seeing in the news, is Iran is launching missiles from Gaza and area to kind of disrupt it. So anytime we get really close to peace, Iran tries to stop it. But I think the Arab world today is united. They don't want this anymore. They want the Israeli-Palestinian conflict off the table, because all they want to do now is create prosperity for their young people, especially. So right now, I've been studying this area all my life, and this is the most transformational, hopeful time in the Middle East that I have ever found. It's going to sound a little difficult in the news right now in the next week or so, but good times are coming.
Well, praise the Lord,
yeah.
Right? And this is in the middle of Easter season, mm-hmm. Lent, Easter, and we're in the season of hope.
Yeah.
The season of joy and the season of transformation. And so that's a big part of what this is all about. Now, tell us more about what you do in the Holy Land.
I know for myself, and as you both were talking, that hopeful aspect that you were talking about, and as you brought up pilgrimage, there's a great aspect of world relationship and world community that comes out of the work that we do as an order over there. And my lovely wife Wednesday and I lead pilgrimages about every other year to the Holy Land as a part of a project that we have. But what I love about going over there is the relationship aspect, that community aspect, that we're all children of God aspect. You can walk through, and Father, you were kind of alluding to it, you can walk through the streets there and you feel that hopeful aspect, because I don't care if you're Christian, Jew, or Muslim, everybody greets everyone there. It's usually that double hello. Hello, hello.
Yeah.
As you walk down the street there, everyone greets everyone. There's a great want and need for that hopeful relationship aspect of it. I think as an order, the presence that we get to have over there is such an honor and a privilege, because we get to bring that love of all of us here in America over there on pilgrimage. And it's the fact that we get to bring people. I mean, we're bringing 36 people with us when we go back. A lot of the ones on this trip, it will be a first time for them.
Awesome.
Yeah. And there's, you know, what's happening in the news right now, that there's apprehension. I've been doing texts and emails and phone calls the past few days and just kind of putting everyone at ease. But once you're over there and you really see the love that everyone has for each other, just as children of God, it's pretty amazing.
I think the one thing that stays with me is one of the first times we went over, our guide said, the first time you go to the Holy Land, it's for your mind. You absorb everything. But after that, it's for your heart. Because you feel the love that is there. And these are people in the Holy Land, not only, as Deacon said and Father said, it's not only the Christians there, it's all the peoples of the Holy Land that are trying to live in peace. They're trying to raise families. They're trying to live as God has called us to live. And I think that's what touches me more than anything.
Well, when you go over there, my brothers and sisters, it's tremendous love. You feel the love of the people, as was mentioned here. You feel hope. You feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're standing on sacred ground. It's really incredibly important that we as Catholics support the Holy Land. And supporting the Holy Land, supporting this order, is also very important. And, you know, tell us more about the order, Margie, and maybe a little bit about someone's out there. In fact, I think there's a lot of people out there saying, how can I be part of this?
We are nominated to be a Knight or Lady of the Order, and it's a great honor to be so. But we also, with being a Knight or Lady of the Order, comes the responsibility that we know that this is our mission to help those people in the Holy Land. And so we support orphanages, we have schools, we have two universities, we have hospitals that we work with, and we also have a economic fund that we provide loans through Caritas Jerusalem. We provide loans to small Christian businesses to give them a foot up, to allow them, because we believe we want the Christians to stay. And so it's our mission to help them stay there. And so we provide loans to them. We have one young man that wanted to start a butcher shop. So we have lent him the money to start this butcher shop. We have a woman that wanted a dress shop. She's a designer. And so there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of growth there. And so that's what, again, it's our mission, that we want to help these people as much as we can.
My personal feeling, and I feel very strongly about this, is that all of us as strong Catholics need to support the Christians in the Holy Land. And we need to support the Holy Land. Now, how do we best do that? Well, let's start with prayer. You know, praying every single day, praying the rosary, right, Father?
Yes,
you know,
praying
the rosary. Let the Blessed Mother, you know, intercede for us. But prayer is so important. And Father, your comments on that.
Well, you know, on Holy Week, we have Good Friday. And Good Friday is traditionally a time when the Holy Father asks the entire church around the world to especially focus on the Holy Land. All the collections that are taken up in churches on the Good Friday are sent to the Holy Father, who distributes it to the various places in the Holy Land. Obviously, the events of Holy Week, you know, really vividly activate our imagination to imagine all those scenes. So pay attention to the Holy Land. If you can support them in any way by local charities, certainly the Holy Sepulchre, pray for them. The one thing I would encourage everyone to do is to go there. If you go there, it's just amazing what happens to you when you set foot in Jerusalem for the first time. I know in our group trips, when we say Jesus actually walked on this path, people take off their shoes because they want to feel exactly the same place. It's very, very graphic, it really makes your faith come alive when you're actually there. And then later when you come home and you hear the Gospels and you know, throughout the year, you can say, that Gospel that I just heard, I was actually there.
Absolutely. You know? And it's so enjoyable to read the Scripture when you're there, to talk about it, and exactly what you said, Father, where you basically say, guess what? Jesus was here, yeah. You know, and to experience the understanding of the words and how they come alive as a result of being right there, standing on holy ground, right, as that song goes. So it's just so important that we support the Holy Land, support the Christians in the Holy Land. And these projects are pretty amazing, Margie, that you guys are doing. Now, I know some people are saying, how do I become a member? And as you mentioned, you have to be sponsored. But how do they find out whether or not there's a local chapter in their area?
Well, we actually have a website. So if anyone would like to, if they're interested, go to our website. And I think we have a contact area there. And our address is EOHSJ. WesternUSA.org. So they can hear, they can see more of what we do. They can learn more of the history of the order. And if they are interested, give us a contact. We'd love to talk to anyone about the order. We're very proud to be members. We're proud to be knights and ladies of the order. And so it's a true love for all of us. And so, and I always say that the knights and ladies of Holy Sepulchre are really very special people because they live the gospel. They live God's word. They all have that love in common. And so it's very special.
Is there a prerequisite to, I know that you have to be nominated, but is there a prerequisite in terms of one's background?
You have to be active Catholic. And yes, you have to be nominated by two people and also be approved by your pastor. And so there are active Catholic is our main, and over age 35, that's one of the factors that we take into consideration. But mainly it's active Catholic, good practicing Catholic, and nominated by the pastor.
Well, I am so excited to be here talking about this incredible Order of the Holy Sepulchre, about the Holy Land itself. And we're going to be right back to talk more about why you should go to the Holy Land and why you should support this Order of the Holy Sepulchre. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
This is John Romero, Director of Music at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are just months away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, but in the meantime, we have some spectacular concerts at Christ Cathedral. Check out our website at ChristCathedralMusic.org or our Facebook page at Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Are you looking for relevant ways to respond to modern cultural challenges like gender ideology, the Me Too movement, feminism, and the constant masculine critique? This is Timory Millington. Listen to my show, Trending with Timory, as I'm joined by regular guests who defend what the Catholic Church teaches about sexuality and family. Join me Sunday afternoons on Relevant Radio or catch all the episodes at radiotrending.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are back on Empowered by the Spirit. We're with three incredible people, Father Dave Heaney, Deacon Ryan Adams, and Margie Romano, who are part of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. We're talking about the Holy Land. Now, very important, as you know, my brothers and sisters, those that tune into the show And yes, that's you because you're listening. We talk a lot about scripture, and there's one scripture in particular that I want to bring to your attention. You've heard me say it before, and this is John 15:16. We love the 15th chapter of John, the vine and the branches. 15:16 says, "It is not you who chose me, but I who chose you." Yes, my brothers and sisters, you are chosen. You are appointed. You are anointed. You are chosen to be priest, prophet, and king, to live out your baptism. And to be priest, prophet, and king really points you to the Holy Land, you know, and it points you to wanting to make a difference there in this very sacred ground, very sacred place. I know for me, and we touched upon it briefly, that when I go there and people say, well, now you've been there, you know, why do you keep going back? I feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface. Every time I go there, I get a different experience, Father.
I think you were inspired to recall that verse, because that has been my experience over these last 15 years leading pilgrimages, is that when people sign up, I always have a sense that they feel called to go. This is not, we're not going to Yosemite Valley, we're not going to Paris and Rome. When they go to the Holy Land, you know, it's not a particularly beautiful place, and there's a lot of cultural changes. But people feel called to walk in the place where Jesus walked. And no matter what's going on in the news, they never cancel. And when they feel called, they want to go, and they can't wait.
And I have never, in all the trip, the six trips, and you guys have been there more, but the six trips we've been on, I've never had someone say, oh, I'm really sorry I went.
No.
You know, every time they go, in fact, so many people have said, my whole life has changed.
Yeah.
Give us all an experience, one thing that comes to mind through the Holy Spirit, of one of the trips to the Holy Land and something that just knocked your socks off. Deacon, why don't you get started?
Well, I know for me, and I take it to a very personal relationship aspect, and I'll even bring it into what happened this morning, parking in the parking lot here. When I go over there, I immerse myself with the people, with our brothers and sisters. I love friendships. I love relationships. I love that aspect of community. So as Father was saying, we bring back so much. We bring back the Gospels. We bring back walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and along with that, we bring back relationships with all of God's children. So when I got here this morning, I was a little bit early because I was afraid of traffic, and I checked into Christ Cathedral, said I was excited to be, talking about the Holy Land on Relevant Radio. Within minutes, I had several people from both Palestine and Israel, who I'm friends with, on my Facebook page and instant messaged me going, oh, this is amazing. Thank you for talking about us. Thank you for sharing about us. One of them I'm going to have lunch with in a few weeks when we're there. He's like, I can't wait to see you when you get back here, brother. So
praise the Lord.
It is. It's relationships. We can change the world. We can change the culture. We can change any hatred out there with love and relationship. And when we engage in love and relationship and we bring it back, so it's not us in the Western Lieutenancy. It's not us in Orange County or Los Angeles and them over there. It's God's children just coming together, even through Facebook this morning.
Yeah, we have a lot of Christians following us in Bethlehem on Facebook, Spiritful Hearts. And I know they're probably listening in because it's also on Facebook Live. And so a shout out to them. It makes a big difference. What about you, Father?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Bethlehem. I think it was our second trip back in 2007. A couple came. I knew the couple well. She was Catholic. He was not Catholic. But, you know, faithful husband accompanied his wife to the Holy Land, and they came, and he was really touched, and he was really moved. And as we were going into Bethlehem, he came to me, and he said, you know, Father, I'd like to come into the church.
Wow.
And I'd like to do it in Bethlehem.
Wow.
Now, you know, RCIA or all those kind of programs, and I just I prayed about it, and I said, well, I think we're going to let the Spirit strike here. So in Bethlehem, at the Mass there, we received him into the church. And it was very beautiful and very powerful, and not a dry eye in the chapel. And ever since then, he's been a very faithful Catholic. And every year, he always emails me, because we moved on to different parishes. And he says, I know you're going to the Holy Land. Please remember me in your prayers in Bethlehem. And so it's a beautiful... people, you know, one story among hundreds, really. Every single person that goes to the Holy Land has generally their own personal moment of transformation, of transfiguration. Sometimes I get to know that. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just feel it in the spirit of the group.
Amen.
You know,
Amen. Yeah. You know, for me, there's so many different places. I love to go to Cana and redo the marriage vows and you know, to see there on that holy, holy ground there, to see married couples that have been married for many, many years, many times, and they're crying, you know, because it's so emotional. Another place that's so emotional for me, every single time I go to the Church of the Annunciation, that basilica there, I cry. When I see all the images of Mary from throughout the world, every time I'm standing there, I just start crying because I just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, right there on those grounds, right? You know, the angel Gabriel came to our Blessed Mother, you know, and really told her the good news about what was going to happen. But what about you, Margie?
Oh, my gosh, so many experiences. But for me, the last time we were there, we went to Hogar, which is an orphanage for disabled children. And family is so very important to my husband and I. And we have seven grandchildren. And I going there and experiencing these children that were are all disabled, severely handicapped, and orphaned, either just, you know, left off at the orphanage, and seeing the love that the sisters give to those children. And it truly touched my heart, and it made me realize that all of the things that we do with the Order, with Holy Sepulchre, that brings the reasons. Yes, you know, going to all the places where Jesus walked is just, it transforms your life. But this was another area. It really transformed my life to see the need of the people there and to see the good works that the love and the good works that people are doing. It really touched me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you can't always say that during Lenten season, but I always like to say it anyway.
Okay.
You know, so
it's time for it.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at the 25th chapter of Matthew, because, you know, you have three incredible parables. First, the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, you don't want to be the virgin that left, the virgin that wasn't prepared, the virgin that isn't really focused on the coming of Jesus Christ. And we see that with the second parable, the parable of the talents. You know, we're all given something to invest. 1, 3, 5 talents. The person with one talent buried it. You're given talents to make a difference. You can make a difference in the Holy Land with the Christians in the Holy Land. You can certainly, if they want to donate to the Order of the Holy Sepulchre to get the money in the right places, they can do that, right? Without being a member and so
Absolutely.
Forth. And how do they do that?
They can, again, go back to that website. Our website, we have a space. If they would like to give, we would be thrilled. We'd be honored to have them make a donation. It'd be wonderful.
And, you know, again, you can make a difference whether or not you're a member of the Order of the Holy Sepulchre. Whatever funds that you give the Holy Sepulchre, can we say is going to the Holy Land?
It does. Actually does. We have, like I say, we have special missions that we have raised money for. As an example, our Las Vegas area sent 350 wheelchairs back a couple of years ago.
Oh, fantastic.
They did. They raised the money to do that. So we have special projects. And every year we support the Zarqa schools and in Jordan. And one year the kids came and said, we need backpacks. And so every year we send backpacks over. And then the next year the teacher said, do we think we can get backpacks as well? So we added that to that. And then they said, can we get jackets and shoes for the kids? So those are just part
awesome.
Of our special ministries that we do.
Awesome. One of the most important things within Matthew 25, of course, is the sheep and the goats. And when we see our brothers who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are in prison in some way, shape, or form, when did we then service them, give them food, give them drink, give them support? Well, I strongly believe that the Christians in the Holy Land need support. You know, in fact, every time I go there, I'm meeting with them, especially those in Palestine, those that, you know, are struggling as it relates to economically and so forth. And I know in meeting with some of the clergy there, they're often saying, let the people know in the United States how much we appreciate them, appreciate their support, appreciate their prayer, the prayers for them, you know, because there's a lot of things we can do to support the clergy and Christians in Palestine, but throughout the Holy Land, Father.
You know, I mean, one of the most beautiful words that Jesus ever spoke is, I will be with you. I am with you. And that sense of solidarity, you know, the world is the world. It's a tough place sometimes, but I will stand with you. I will be with you wherever you go. Very, very powerful. And I know that all the Christians, especially the clergy in the Middle East, really appreciate. They know that we are interested in them, and they really, really appreciate it. Our members show great support just simply by their dues. That really is, you know, tremendous. We always encourage them to go on pilgrimage, to actually physically go there. And some of our members, like Deacon Ryan, actually come up with special projects over there that it's really, like, what I might consider to be heroic.
Deacon, tell us about that special project or two.
Well, the year that my wife, Wendy, and I came into the order, we didn't want to join something just to join something for the honorific title or, you know, the cool vestment or, you know, the cool cape that my wife got, all the wonderful things that come along with membership. We wanted to actually do something. We wanted to engage in that, you know, that relationship aspect that I continually go back to with our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land. So we spoke with Sir William Davidson, who has gone on to his heavenly reward, but he was the lieutenant at the time, and Lady Margie Romano was also running the L.A. area at that point, and she was the second person that we spoke to. We said, we want to create something. We want to create a mission. We want to create a project where we can raise awareness for what's happening over there. And they both said, absolutely, you have our support, and Margie has supported us. We're going into our eighth year. So what we did was we created something called the Our Lady Queen of Palestine Project. One of the feast days is an order that we celebrate the last Sunday in October, and I'm a mama's boy. I love the Blessed Mother, so we decided to call it Our Lady Queen of Palestine. And what my wife and I do with the assistance of some amazing members, knights and ladies of the order, is throughout the year we go to anywhere from 15 to 20 parishes, from Santa Barbara to San Gabriel to L.A. to Orange County. Just in the past week I've been invited to Las Vegas and Sedona, Arizona. And we raise awareness about what our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land are going through, specifically children. But we also do what you talked about at the beginning, is we raise prayers. We ask people to engage in prayer. Pray for our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land. Pray for, like I said, most of the time it's children that are the beneficiaries each year of different places that we pick. And out of that, if I do my job, because I'm preaching and I'm speaking in these parishes, if I engage everyone, we do come up with some really amazing assistance that isn't even asked for. It's awareness and prayers that I ask for, but we get some amazing donations that go 100% to each place that we pick. Like this year, Margie just talked about Hogar Niño Dios, the special needs orphanage in Bethlehem, and that's who my wife and I chose this year. So the past 10 months, everything that we've been kind of going around as missionaries doing will all go directly to them. And then in a month from now, we'll go visit them and actually bring all those prayers. I tell everyone, when I gather these prayers, I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them with me. I'm going to bring them to these children. So my wife and I deliver the prayers from the people, and we go over there and go love and hug the kids.
My brothers and sisters, you are on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're talking about the Holy Land, this incredible order, the Holy Sepulchre. But God wants you to make a difference. And we're going to be right back to talk more about how you can make a difference in being part of this amazing, amazing journey of helping those Christians in the Middle East. We'll be right back.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
A Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're back on the Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem with three incredible people, three saints, Father Dave Heaney, Deacon Ryan Adams, and Margie Romano. Margie is the Chancellor of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. And Father Dave, you know very well from being on the radio, Relevant Radio, 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, really focusing on the rosary and certainly other holy topics. But Father leads pilgrimages and has been there many times to Holy Land and has had some really phenomenal experiences. Tell us about some of those experiences.
The most amazing thing, I think, is to discover that, you know, the Holy Land is a place of claims. Jesus went here, Jesus did this here, you know, and some are more reliable than others. What is truly a miracle is that all archaeologists believe that the most archaeologically verified site in the Holy Land is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the place where Jesus was crucified and buried. That is the center of our faith happens to be the one that's most archaeologically verified is astounding. And one of the reasons we know that is because shortly after the time of Jesus, the Romans wanted to wipe it out. The Romans wanted to wipe out Christianity, and the way they would do that is they would find out what is your most holy place, and they would destroy it and then build their temple on top. So ironically, the archaeological remains of that Roman temple verify the site. Thank you, Rome. Their desire to destroy it actually ends up verifying it. But 2 years ago, National Geographic funded an incredible project. It was long thought that the tomb of Christ was missing, that during the Crusades it had gotten wiped out. And so everybody knew this was the spot where Jesus was buried, but the actual tomb was missing. 2 years ago, the National Geographic funded a project in which it was discovered that it was still there. The ledge that Jesus laid on is still present. It's covered over by marble and all this kind of thing for the altar. But they verified that the site where Jesus was buried wasn't destroyed, is still there. And if you like, you can Netflix or Google Secrets of Christ's Tomb by National Geographic. They funded it, so they made a two-hour special on it. You can see it now. Secrets of Christ's Tomb, verifying the spot where Jesus was buried.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, when you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, it's almost impossible for your life not to be changed. You're standing right there at the site where our Lord and Savior was crucified. Mm. You're able to really reach down and be part of it and touch a rock and really be part of that experience. You go into the tomb. You know, we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, and it just makes such a big difference. Dave, your thoughts on that?
It's one of those spots, like you had said, that truly stirs the soul. I remember the first time we there, I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was standing off to the side. My wife had gone in with two other ladies of the Holy Sepulchre that she was dear friends with. She walked out, and she was crying, and she'd never looked more beautiful in her entire life. It was the most beautiful I'd ever seen my wife. It touches your soul in a way that you can't even explain, but it is. It's one of those spots that if you believe in feeling something, it's where you feel. I mean, all the spots when you walk in the footsteps of Jesus, but that is that one spot. I'll never forget that moment, looking over, falling even more in love with my wife because of the way it touched her soul and me getting to even visually see that.
I know for me, one of my recent trips to Holy Land, I went with my brother that had never gone and my goddaughter, my niece, and my wife and I, and the four of us were fortunate enough to be in the tomb together, praying on our knees there in the tomb. And, you know, we all start crying, you know, and that's what happens. I mean, you feel so much emotion because you're standing on holy, sacred ground. The Holy Spirit's presence is there. The presence of Jesus is there. The presence of the Father is there. And it's just overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. And, you know, and to see, I mean, when you go into the church, it's crowded. It's packed with people. But all of the people in there are there for the same reason, that they want to experience that feeling, that love of Jesus. They want to know. They want to touch where he is buried. They want to have that because we all have that same love of Jesus. And it is, it truly changes your life. We had an experience that it was over a 3-day period that we ran in, we crossed paths with a young man that you could see was clearly living on the streets, was there in prayer. And, that was on day one. On day two, exact same spot, exact same time, our paths crossed again. And on day three, when we went into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, we went downstairs to go down to one of the chapels to have Mass. The doors were closed. There was a sign on there, do not enter. And we walked in, and he was in there in prayer.
Wow.
And it just, it really touched us. It just really, both my husband and I were just totally blown away by that experience.
A Holy Spirit moment.
Totally.
And every time you're there in the Holy Land, you have one Holy Spirit moment after another, you know, and especially when you go there with an open heart and you go there and you ask, Lord, just transform me and show me how much you love me and show me what it is you want me to know. And the Holy Sepulchre is run by who? Who runs the Holy Sepulchre, Church of the Holy Sepulchre, as it relates to the different, the Catholic Church and then what other?
Oh my gosh, there's so many different, there's the
Greek,
the Greeks, there's the Armenian Catholics. So there's all these groups that come together that, each of them, the Franciscans are the primary, have the the primary custodians of the church. They are there and, you know, they have their own area and they all kind of they all work together and, but they have, it's interesting. At the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the doors are locked, and the key is kept by one family that has had that key for years, and it's a Muslim family.
It's a Muslim family, which is really a blessing, because if you look in Jerusalem, you have Jews, Muslims, Christians all coming together. And Father, you know, when you see these various denominations, faiths, and so forth, tell us more about them within the Church of Holy Sepulchre.
It was established maybe 500 years ago. And so where these different communities, the Greek, the Armenian, and the Franciscans, have different sections of the church that they maintain and monitor. But because the church is old, it's, you know, it's 1,000 years old, it takes all three of them to cooperate together to maintain it. And that's achieved a level of cooperation recently that has never been around before in hundreds of years. And it really is heartening. And in fact, this renovation of the Christ tomb that happened with National Geographic was really the closest cooperation that these churches have experienced in a long time. So, you know, I began by saying this is a transformational time in the Middle East. We're seeing the tremendous cooperation between the three main groups, Armenian, Greek, and Roman Catholic. We're seeing a lot of coordination between Arab and Israeli governments and United States. This is a transformational time that I think the Middle East hasn't seen in centuries. And it's all wonderful. It's all about hope. It's all about cooperation. It's all about recognizing just how powerful that place is to Muslims and Jews and to Catholics and to Christians.
And it's interesting how many Muslims come, especially where the Blessed Mother is
involved. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, they're constantly there. Now, when you stand in line for the tomb, and often there is a line, right, for a while, all of a sudden, at least my experience has been, you see, I think the Greek Orthodox come, you know, and incense the tomb. And
well, all three groups have their time
of
day.
They're all the time, right, yeah. So last time I think I saw the Greek Orthodox. And tell us about what happens, because there's this incense that happens, and it's just so holy. I mean, you just feel the presence of the Lord.
Well, Greek ceremonies are basically solid singing. I mean, everything is sung.
Yes.
And it seems to me that in order to be in the Greek Orthodox Church, you have to have a spectacular voice.
You've got a chant and love incense.
Yes. And so it's a deep intonation. And you can just see when, because I've been there seeing it many times, and you watch the tourists or the, you know, pilgrims who are there watching it, they've never seen anything like this before, and they're just kind of in a stunned silence. Because you have a lot of incense, a lot of these deep intonation tones. It's very majestic, very, very spiritual, very solemn, and very powerful. And then, and the Greek ceremony actually does occur like around mid-morning when a lot of people are there. The Roman Catholic time is early morning, and then the Armenians are after that.
But the Franciscans, too. Those Franciscans in the Holy Sepulchre can sing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
When they
that's
sing
awesome.
Us in. Whew.
That's awesome. And Margie, you were mentioning, too, you know, a lot of people, they may go to the site of the crucifixion, they may go to the tomb, but there's so much more in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I mean, it's a very large church, right? Is it the largest or one of the largest in the world for the Catholics? There's what, over 25 different chapels?
Different chapels, sure.
Yeah. Yes. And that you can see if some of them are open to the public and some of them are being closed for various masses and so forth. But you can spend literally an entire day there, if not more than one day.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, there's so many different areas, like Father Dave was saying, that you could go to all the different chapels and just experience it. And I think that once you get into the church, you feel God's presence. And so you just want to stay. You just want to just be there.
There's a beautiful chapel in the Armenian section called St. Vartan's Chapel that we take our group to every year.
Oh, boy.
And there's a graffiti, a kind of a picture on the wall that was made in the year 300. Because remember, because Jesus was a real person, certainly afterwards, everyone wanted to go and see the places where Jesus actually walked. This is a little picture that a pilgrim drew in the year 300 of a ship, and it has a broken mast. So it was a shipwreck.
Wow.
And in Latin underneath it, it says, Domine Ivimus, which means, Lord, we came. Under duress, you know, it was almost like a better translation is not Lord, we came, but Lord, we made it. And I tell our people, I said, look, your pilgrims here, that is your fellow pilgrim from the year 300 who under tremendous difficulty came to the Holy Land because they wanted to be in the place where Jesus walked.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, I am so excited. I want to go. Can I go? You have any more space?
We'll make space.
We'll make space. Oh, you've got to go to the Holy Land and you've got to support this very important order, the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, because these shrines, churches, people need your support.
Absolutely.
It's just so important.
It just brings our church, it brings it, our faith to the forefront. It touches your heart, and it just, to be there, to know that you're out on the Sea of Galilee in one of the small boats that was from the time of Jesus. I mean, it's the most peaceful feeling, too. I experience mm-hmm. that. Don't you feel the same way, Ryan?
Well, you've got to think. You're sitting there. One of the things that we always do, and I know a lot of the groups do, is once we get out there, we turn the motor off.
Yeah,
and
we do too, yeah.
Because that landscape that you're looking at is the landscape that Jesus looked at. That water
Amen.
Lapping on the
Amen.
Boat are the sounds that our Lord heard. We can sit there and experience what our Lord experienced.
And you almost feel like you can look in the horizon. There's Jesus out
right.
there. Okay, here's a test, my brothers and sisters. You ready for a test? The test is, what does the word Catholic mean? And the answer, Father, is?
Universal.
Universal. This isn't just about your parish. This is my pet peeve, okay? People go, oh, I go to this parish. You're part of the Catholic Church, which is universal.
World
that
church.
Includes the world, includes the Holy Land.
Absolutely. That is your home. You know, one of the things that our guide always says at the end of our trip is, please come back home again, and because that is our spiritual home.
You are part of the Universal Church, my brothers and sisters. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to talk more about this incredible order, Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, but about a very special, special event coming up May 30th. We'll be right back.
This is John Romero, Director of Music at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are just months away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, but in the meantime, we have some spectacular concerts at Christ Cathedral. Check out our website at ChristCathedralMusic.org or our Facebook page at Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than one-acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Powered by the Spirit, and we're with the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, Father Dave Heaney, who is a well-known radio host at 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday on Relevant Radio National. Deacon Ryan Adams, who has a ministry in which you're traveling minister for the Holy Sepulchre and various other things, but certainly he does amazing work. And Margie Romano, who is a chancellor of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. Again, they're here on the show talking about this incredible order and how we can make a difference. And we have a very exciting event coming up. In fact, I think there's probably still a little bit of space left if people want to come to this particular evening. I believe it's May 30th. What's happening on May 30th at the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles?
Well, May 30th, Relevant Radio is having their very special evening of, of recognition. And they are recognizing Archbishop Gomez as their main awardee. And then we're also very excited that Holy Sepulchre for the Western Lieutenancy is receiving their Caritas Day Award. And so we're very excited about that for our service to the needy of the Holy Land.
And somebody I know is accepting that award, right? Is anybody I know?
Anybody you know? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Margie is blessed to accept the award because of her great service within the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. This evening is called Christ Brings Hope. And it's interesting, Father, and you know, obviously I picked up on it right away, is the fact that your emphasis from the very first segment is one of hope, because that's exactly what Easter is about, is hope. This is exactly what our church is about, is hope. This is what this order is about, and our focus on the Middle East. And that's what this evening is about. Tell us more about Christ Brings Hope, Father.
That title is so powerful. Easter is that one event that brings hope more than anything else, that Christ conquers death of all things, the greatest challenge that anyone ever has to face. So our faith is founded on this idea that nothing gets in our way. Nothing ever brings us down. Nothing ever clouds our future. That we have this person of Christ with us on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, yearly, our entire life. And if our life is focused on this person, then we are always people of hope.
Amen. And to be people of hope means that we believe, we have faith as big as a mustard seed. When you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you can look at that mountain and say, move, and it will move. And that's a big part of what this order is about, is it brings hope into the Holy Land. And tell us more about this evening and this special award, which Archbishop Gomez, but how do they get tickets?
Actually, I believe it's on the Relevant Radio website that you can go to and get the tickets. And there are
relevantradio.com.
Thank you, Father Dave.
Relevantradio.com. And of course, you'll be there, Father.
Absolutely.
Dave, and you'll be there. And it's worth going just to meet Father Dave in person. Shake his hand.
Love
the person
to meet you.
That you hear every day at 5 p.m. You'll get to meet him in person. And I'll be there too, but you know, forget about me, but meet Father Dave. That's the important one.
It's going to be a wonderful evening at the Biltmore Hotel.
And to meet you, too.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah. And the Biltmore Hotel is a fabulous hotel. So there are tickets, I believe, still available. RelevantRadio.com. You can have a table sponsorship. And table sponsorship is even better. Even better. And so, you know, considering the scope of the event, you know, it is very reasonable and something that, God willing, you can bring people. I know people are being, you know, they're carpooling down from Bakersfield. They're up from Orange County and so forth like we are. And obviously throughout the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And, you know, let's spend a second talking about Relevant Radio because it's near and dear to both of our hearts, Father. And Relevant Radio is bringing that Catholic message of hope throughout the country. And it's really important. And this night, of course, is a gala event for Relevant Radio. And I do want to give a pitch for that. And your thoughts on that, Father?
You know, I think just back again on the title of that event, Christ Brings Hope, really is kind of the motto, I think, of what I've come to understand about Relevant Radio for the last 3.5 years, that the whole desire is that when you're in your car especially, or if you're at home, you have a place where you can go on the radio where you can be encouraged, your faith can be strengthened, and you can find hope. So much of the news today is extremely negative, very, very partisan, very, very divisive. I find people come to me all the time and they say, I just love to get in the car, which is now my little chapel, because we spend so much time on the freeway, especially here in L.A., and I have a place where I am nourished, where I am not challenged, I'm not beaten down or hearing difficult things, but I am nourished by show hosts who are giving me good things to think about. The Rosary program is really a soothing time of prayer for people just to have that quiet prayer time between work and home. And your show and just, you know, all these programs that provide nourishment, spiritual nourishment and food for people who are really desperately want it and in the medium that they find comfortable, you know, especially in their car.
My brothers and sisters, what the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem is about, for me anyway, is one of my major themes, and it's my Barnabas theme. Do you remember my Barnabas theme? Do you remember what Barnabas means? We're not going there.
We're not going there.
We're actually this particular, the L.A. prayer breakfast, L.A. Catholic prayer breakfast, right?
Yes.
You know, with Margie is part of, you know, we've had them on the air and we were talking about their steering committee becoming a Barnabas committee. Now, you may remember, what is Barnabas? Who was Barnabas? Well, the word Barnabas means son of encouragement. And so what I believe, and you look at Scripture, it's very, very clear in Scripture that we are to encourage the holy ones. That's straight out of Scripture, right? We are to be encouragers. We are to be focusing on hope, focusing on the risen Christ. And that's a big part of what this order does, what Relevant Radio does, and what we as Christians, Catholic, holy men and women are to do is to encourage one another. Your thoughts, Father?
Well, and who was Barnabas' great success story was St. Paul.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, St. Paul, everybody knows St. Paul, you know, one of the, you know, the great missionaries of the church. And we fail, sometimes it's good to remember that there was a person behind Paul who was encouraging him.
Yes.
And I will bet that every place that Paul went, as difficult as the challenging as the place might have been, he would recall, you know what? What would Barnabas do here?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And my brothers and sisters, who can you encourage today?
Yeah.
Who can you encourage today? God will bring people to you right now, and you don't know what's going on with them. You know, people put on kind of this false, everything's great, especially men, with all due respect, right? Uh-huh. You ask a man how things are going, fantastic, never been better, great wife, great kids, great job, you know, and they're dying inside, right? You ask a woman, and a woman will tell you exactly what's going on. But anyway, men, you know, but we all need encouragement, Deacon, right? And I think being a deacon, that's a big part of what we do is we encourage one another, encourage people in ministries.
It is, but just as Catholics in general, we have this amazing theology of Imago Dei, and it speaks to everything that we've all been talking about, that we're all created in God's image.
Amen.
So, and that's one of the things that I really try and put into the trips and going to the Holy Land with people is that immersion aspect in that we know it's just not us. We're not the only ones creating God's image. Everybody that we encounter, it's like you said, who can we inspire or encourage or uphold and hold up each day? It's everyone that we encounter. Everyone we meet,
amen,
is a child of God.
Amen.
Whether they recognize it, whether they understand it, whether they even believe it, we know as Catholics, every child of God is loved by God. So if we love them and we treat them as an image of God, when we reflect our own image, then we're doing our job.
Amen.
And, you know, I think as all these years of involvement with the order, we came in and we have met truly wonderful people, like I said, that all have the desire to live as God has told us to live, to live a life of service, to live a life of loving our fellow man. And so, you know, we do all these wonderful things for the Christians, for the Holy Land, okay? But on the other side of that, I know personally the benefits that we have received, the blessings we have received by doing this, in fulfilling this mission, that the spirituality that the order has brought to our life is tremendous, and it's a true blessing.
My brothers and sisters, one of the great lines in a book says, "It's not about you." Mm-hmm. What is the purpose that you have in your life? The purpose we know from the Baltimore Catechism, right? Mm-hmm. To know Him, to love Him, and serve Him. But our purpose is to live out God's will within your hearts and souls and minds. You have the ability to do that. Final thoughts before we close. Any final thought, Margie, you have?
Just as I was saying a few minutes ago, that it's just we lead a blessed life, and we are so thankful for that life. And so if we can do on a daily basis, follow our Lord, follow His directive to love and serve, that's what we're all about. And as Catholics, that's what we need to have center in our life. We need to have God center in our life, and then everything else, you know, you said how the men will say everything is great, the women will give you the truth, which is pretty true. But by having God central in your life, you realize that He will guide us through. He will be our path. He will be our director. And so that's what we need to keep.
And my brothers and sisters, never forget Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Deacon, final thoughts.
Something you said earlier about the Catholic Church, be universal. My final thought is go big. Be a part of your parish community 1,000%. Be a part of your local community 1,000%. But go big. Be a part of World Church. Engage in all aspects of World Church, whether that's the Holy Land or whether that's Africa or whether that's anywhere in the world. Get those relationships.
Amen. And what I, my brothers and sisters, what I often say in my talks and seminars is, how big is your God?
Yes.
How big is your God? Do you have your God? Do you have Jesus? Do you have God in a box? How big is your God? With God, all things are possible. Final thoughts, Father.
Three quick ideas. Please pray for the peace in the Holy Land. Go to the Holy Land if you're able to, or spiritually go there by Holy Week, going to the services on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday.
You know, the Triduum, right? So right. Important, my brothers and sisters. And this order is so important. And this dinner on May 30th is so important. May Almighty God bless you with every spiritual blessing. But I'm going to have Father close us in a final prayer. And thank you so much, the three of you, for being on the show.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
You guys are awesome.
Let's just pray, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, with every spiritual blessing. Thank you so much, and continue to pray for the Holy Land and the important equestrian order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. We'll be with you next week at the same time. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
This is Rick Howick from Orange County Catholic Radio. It is my privilege and pleasure to come to you each week from beautiful Garden Grove, California at the Christ Cathedral. And I'd also like to extend to you an invitation that if you know of someone who would make a great guest for our show, to drop us an email and we'll try to get your suggested person on the air. That would be at newscalendar@rcbo.org. That's newscalendar@rcbo.org. And we'll catch up to you next time on Orange County Catholic Radio.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
The listener emailed and said that she is not a Catholic, but she listens to Relevant Radio for two reasons.
Sister Bridget Hess.
She said, it helps me to pray, and it helps me to find God in other people and do good. And I thought to myself, wow, Relevant Radio, if we as a community, not only on the air, but in the places we live, help people to pray and to help people find God in other people and do good, what better use of our time on earth?
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. We're only able to broadcast because of your generous support.
Support the mission of Relevant Radio
by calling 1-877-291-0123.
Donate online at relevantradio.com or by using the Relevant Radio app.